You are now listening to Jess's Lit on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Jess's Lit. Another episode where exciting things happen. Today's an exciting day. We have quite a bit to go over. I'll just kind of run by what I'm planning on doing today. Today, the first thing we'll do is I am going to present to you guys my, let's say, project that I was assigned to do for my Victorian literature class. And I'll explain more in detail after our quick break after this, but I'll be presenting to you guys. It would be much better if you were all here in person with me, but because that is not possible, I have made a script to read, and I will try my best to explain to you what each, I guess, visual detail is through words. And so I will be presenting to you guys one of the projects that I completed. I handed it in yesterday, so it is very recent, so I'll be presenting to you guys about that. And then after that, I have some songs I want to play. From an Indigenous artist, or I would say her ancestry is French, German, Irish, and she is a self-identified Indigenous heritage, the Mohawk tribe. And her name is Kinney Starr. She's quite well known in Canada. She performed in Vancouver many, many times as well, and a Juno nominee and winner, I believe. And so after the presentation, I'll play some songs from Kinney Starr because her songs really are great, and I do listen to her songs on the daily, and so those songs will be played after the presentation. But before we do all that, I'll play some ads, show promos, and some PSAs, and we'll be right back after this.
It is time to get your spook on. And there's nothing like getting spooky with a good horror film. And this time, Slashback is coming right at you on October 24th. Slashback is a horror film that features Micah and her ragtag group of friends as they take on an alien invasion in their tiny Arctic hamlet. And it's up to them to fight back using makeshift weapons and horror movie knowledge. Arts Indigenous Student Advising is putting on Slashback, a film directed by an Inuit director and set in Nunavut. The horror film will be playing at the Norm Theatre this October 24th. Only $5 entry for public, and it's free for all UBC Indigenous students. Doors at 5:45 p.m. We'll see you at the Norm Theatre this October 24th.
What do you love, and what do you love about it? My name is Ewan, and with I Love You Hour, I want to know. Come join me bi-weekly Tuesdays at 6 p.m. to discuss music and the stories we connect to it, either in person, on the phone, or through messages at I Love You Hour on Instagram. That's I-L-U-V-U Hour on Instagram, or through email at iluvhour@gmail.com. If you love sharing music and telling stories, listen to I Love You Hour bi-weekly at CITR 101.9. And remember, I love you.
Royal Otis, live in concert, coming to the PNE Forum in Vancouver on October 22nd. Fresh off the heels of their debut album, Prats in Pain, and the viral cover of Murder on the Dance Floor for Triple J's Like a Virgin, Don't miss the Australian duo on their biggest tour yet, Royal Otis, Glory to Glory Fall Tour. Tickets are on sale now at ticketleader.ca. TicketLeader.ca.
Supplies for hormone injections and safer substance use are now available for free from AMS SASC and peer support. Folks can order supplies online or drop by during office hours to access these resources. Confidential forms and additional information can be found on their website, www.amssasc.ca, or you can drop by either office located on the third floor of the Nest. This initiative is part of the SASC and Peer Support's commitment to providing equitable access to harm reduction supplies and can be accessed by anyone in the community. I'ma keep on talking about it
because it's true for me. From 1951 to 1992, First Nation and Inuit children were placed in non-Indigenous communities to live in private homes to attend school. If you or someone you know participated in this program, compensation may be available. For details, please visit boardinghomesclassaction.com or call 1-888-499-1144 for details on eligibility, support, or opt-in.
Welcome back. Those were some ads, show promos, and PSAs. Now, we are going to move on to our first bit. It'll be me presenting to you guys about my digital project that I was assigned to complete for my Victorian literature class. Basically, what it was I had to choose five children literature books in the Victorian period, and they had to be before the year 1901, and I believe after the 1800s as well. So around the 19th century. I chose to pick the books, the five books from the late 19th century, so around the 1870s, 80s era, and so that's that. And I had to incorporate images as well. I can't show you guys the images here, but I could kind of explain. So my project had at least four images for each book, including the title page. And so I put that on my project, and then alongside the images, I had to provide a summary of the book and an explanation and defense on why I chose it. And so basically this this assignment was about myself being hired to, let me look at this again. So basically, I have just been hired to build a historical collection of children's literature at a new library division at a university. And so as my concept, I had to choose five books, like I said before, and summarize each book and also explain why I chose this specific work. And it was a really fun assignment, one of my favorites so far. We kind of deviated away from one of the other options that was equivalent to this project was a comparative essay. And as an English Lit major, I have way too many writings to do and readings, and I was just kind of sick of writing another comparative essay. And so this digital project that was the alternative kind of fit well with my desires. And it was just a good way to kind of move away from the conventional writing assignment. I mean, although this had some writings in it, I was able to kind of incorporate a creative aspect in the project and assignment. And so, without wasting more time, I think I've mentioned everything so far in regards to just the context. And so I'll start right now with my project. Hello everyone, today I'll be presenting my digital project, which is a children's literature collection focused on fostering moral lessons, imagination, and emotional connection through classic texts. The audience for this collection is young readers aged 5 to 12, although roughly near those ages are suitable as well. This age range is important as it captures both early literacy development and more advanced reading abilities, allowing us to bridge simple moral lessons with richer imaginative storytelling. My collection centers around moral and educational tales with a blend of illustrated poetry, folk songs, and early fantasy. I've selected works from the late 19th century, a time when children's literature began to evolve from strictly instructive to more exploratory. By including texts that mix entertainment with moral or social lessons, my collection celebrates the era's early contributions to children's moral and imaginative education. The vision for my collection is to create a curated selection of the late 19th century children's literature and the whole 19th century children's literature that highlights the period's evolving perspectives on childhood education, especially around themes of moral learning and imaginative storytelling. I envision this collection being used by educators, parents, and young readers to understand how these early works shape today's children's literature landscape. The collection allows readers to explore how foundational values like kindness, bravery, and empathy were woven into captivating narratives. I'll move on to my summaries and explanations of my choices. The first book I chose is called Carl and the Queen of Queerland by E.T. Corbett, published in 1880. Carl and the Queen of Queerland is a whimsical Victorian-era story where young Carl unexpectedly finds himself in the fantastical Queerland, a topsy-turvy realm where logic is constantly upended and the unusual is ordinary. Guided by the eccentric queen and her entourage of peculiar creatures, Carl faces a series of confusing challenges and learns to adapt to an upside-down reality. As he navigates the absurd rules of Queerland, he discovers that flexibility, open-mindedness, and curiosity are valuable tools, helping him to embrace and even appreciate the strange and unfamiliar. This story represents a pivotal move in children's literature, transitioning from moralistic tales to stories that encourage exploration, adaptability, and imaginative freedom. Carl's journey, learning through immersion in a new and conventional world, reflects on emerging 19th century belief in children's capacity for critical and independent thought. Queerland serves as a playful metaphor for young readers, showing that stepping outside of one's comfort zone can foster resilience, creativity, and adaptability, which are essential for growth and discovery. My second book is called Our Children's Songs by Harper and Brothers, published in 1878. This anthology of poems and short stories use animal characters and nature themes to convey important moral lessons. Through charming and approachable fables, the collection emphasizes values such as kindness, duty and empathy, and social responsibility. In one poem, a brave little squirrel learns the importance of preparation and teamwork before winter, while another story tells of a loyal bird who stays by an injured friend despite adversity. Each tale serves as both a gentle teaching tool and a source of imaginative enjoyment, combining moral lessons with vibrant, relatable storytelling. This collection captures the view of literature as a means of shaping character and instilling social values in children. Its approach, using animals and nature to model positive behaviors, makes complex values accessible to young readers. By presenting themes like loyalty, resilience, and the importance of community in a relatable, engaging format, Our Children's Songs reflects an educational philosophy that builds moral instruction, that believes moral instruction can be seamlessly woven into enjoyable stories. Now, my third story book collection is called Bedtime Poetry, A Parent's Assistant in Moral Discipline by Wendell Phillips Garrison, published in 1887. This collection of poems is designed to help children navigate common social and emotional situations. Each poem presents a relatable scenario, such as resolving misunderstandings with friends, managing jealousy, or confronting fears. Through gentle rhyme and thoughtful verse, Garrison guides young readers to reflect on their emotions and the impact of their actions on others. Rather than simply prescribing solutions, the poems encourage children to think deeply about their own choices, cultivating an understanding of patience and self-awareness in everyday interactions. I chose this collection because of its unique approach to moral development, which moves beyond didacticism to promote active emotional reflection. By presenting familiar everyday challenges, bedtime poetry invites children to identify with the characters and think critically about their responses to ethical dilemmas. This approach aligns with a growing Victorian emphasis on nurturing a child's internal moral compass rather than relying solely on external instruction. My fourth book that I chose is called Songs from the Hillside by Julia Leonard, published in 1865. Through vivid imagery, Leonard describes seasonal changes, spring blossoms, summer harvests, autumn leaves, and winter snows, and the communal events tied to them, like harvest gatherings and village fairs. The poem and stories highlight the deep bonds within rural communities, where neighbors support each other and find joy in nature's cycles. With a warm, gentle tone, the collection encourages readers to value these simple moments and develop a lasting appreciation for the natural world. Leonard's focus on nature and communal living offers young readers a reminder of the importance of connecting to their surroundings and the beauty of a slower, more mindful way of life. By showcasing the interdependence between people and nature, Songs from the Hillside encourages respect for the environment, fosters mindfulness, values that are increasingly relevant as today's youth face environmental challenges and seek sustainable ways of living. Now, my last book that I chose is called Death and the Burial of Poor Cock Robin by H.L. Stevens, published in 1865. Death and Burial of Poor Cock Robin is an illustrated story that narrates the mourning and burial of Cock Robin, a beloved figure among the animals. Each animal character takes on a meaningful role in the funeral procession. The owl presides over the service, the rook serves as the bell ringer, and the dove carries flowers. Through these symbolic roles, the animals participate in a communal ritual, collectively honoring Cock Robin's life and supporting each other in grief. The story captures the natural cycle of life and death, offering young readers a gentle, symbolic portrayal of loss, remembrance, and the comforting presence of community during sorrowful times. This story's exploration of loss through anthropomorphic characters makes complex emotions approachable for young readers. By depicting animals engaging in a ritual of mourning, Stephen's work helps children recognize the importance of honoring those who have passed and finding solace in shared grief. The narrative offers children an early understanding of empathy and communal support, showing how collective rituals can provide comfort and closure. Each text in my collection was chosen to inspire curiosity and moral reflection in young readers. The combination of whimsical and fantastical settings, relatable conflicts, and diverse perspectives invites children to both learn and question, encouraging personal growth. This collection also provides a historical lens on children's literature, showing the early methods used to instill values and foster imagination. My collection offers valuable resources for classroom and family settings. Educators and parents can use these stories and poems to start discussions about character, values, and ethics. For young readers, these texts provide memorable characters and stories that they can relate to, learn from, and carry with them as foundational building blocks in their moral and imaginative development. Furthermore, I hope that my digital project collection offers a glimpse into the early landscapes of children's literature, where moral learnings began to merge with imaginative storytelling. By preserving these stories and poems, I offer young readers today a chance to connect with timeless values, to see themselves in Carl's adventures, the animals' friendships, or the reflections of bedtime poetry, or bedside poetry. Thank you. Now that comes to an end. of my presentation. I hope you guys enjoyed it, and I hope you guys check the books out, because they really are interesting, and I was shocked to see how these early works, these early children's literature works, really, in a sense, influenced the way literature nowadays in the contemporary era go about, and how influential and important these old works are in shaping these ideologies that we all possess, and how funny it is also, how humorous it is. A lot of people think that these old works are just very rigid with boring contexts, and these books are all nonfiction-esque, you know, but if you take a look at these, especially the ones, the five I mentioned below, all of these have their own sense of humor, their own sense of funness to it, to say. And so I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please check the five works out. And if not, that's okay. But if you guys are more into it, there's many, many more books related to what I said in the UBC library. So please check those out. And yes, that is the end. Now, we are going to move on to some songs. I've been talking for quite a bit. I'll play some songs from Kinney Star. So we'll get right into it right now. First song from Kinney Star is called One Beautiful Thing, and then we'll go right back to the second, right on to the second one called Right Here With You. So we'll play One Beautiful Thing and then Right Here With You by Kinney Star. Here we go.
Thank you.
You just finished listening to One Beautiful Thing and Right Here With You. Our next songs will be Win or Lose and Vendetta. Here we go.
Well, the world went pop and all heads turned at once to a rocket powered pocket drugs. Yeah, we just stare and stare. A little thing stopped. Threw us down like rags, asking us to clean the mess that we made, but we just stare and stare. But I'm telling you, I got you. I'm asking, begging you to give me two. This world's better than the both of us. Whether we win or we lose, whether we win or we lose, we all win. Spun too hard,
yeah, it did.
Still we wanted her to spin faster,
yeah, we did.
Headlong into disaster. We just stare and stare. We've been pushing planes and trains to get more and more of everything. We've been pissing our waters in our waters. This world's better than the both of us, whether we win
asking us to clean the mess that we made, but we just stare and stare. Yeah, we just stare.
That was Win or Lose and Vendetta. Our next few songs is called I'm Ready and Feed the Fire. Here we go.
There was a time when we felt right and we could laugh day or night.
I'm ready to let you go. I'm ready, I thought you should know. I'm ready, I'm really gone. Look at all the light we shone. Surprise that I'm walking out. Yeah, I'm writing a new chapter. Cause it's love I'm after. All I want is I'm ready to let you go. I'm ready. Yeah, I thought you should know. I'm ready, I'm really gone. Look at all the light.
Tears to show, put down the pen, a few beers to go, voodoo kids with beds and a shining glow, spend a lot of time as a warrior for the culture, a lot of vultures, scavengers will insult you, don't pay that like a bill that got lost, wrote a blank check so I didn't know the cost, and I tossed out yesterday's trash, kinda like a crash course on being crass, we see these words, we meet these peeps, everybody act righteous till they under the sheets, don't talk to me about your religion, when your salvation is in deep remission, so I'ma take a brief intermission, while these crabs keep dissing, so listen.
I'm ready to let you go. I'm ready. I thought you should know.
Check it out now.
I'm ready. I'm really strong. Look at all the light we shone. I'm ready. Best and worst of me, yeah. She knows there's more than what is seen. Fires are burning in the rain, yeah. Please come and take my hand again.
Anything about anything, and it don't matter about a damn thing.
She knows the best and worst of things, yeah.
take my hand again. Feed the fire, feed the fire, and walk on my way again. Yeah, feed the fire, feed the fire, 'cause it's coming up again. And the wind, she knows.
That was I'm Ready and Feed the Fire. We have two more songs left, and it's called Big World and Gotta Do Something. Here we go.
Go get it, 'cause it's a good day. Go get it, I'll make it even better now. Go dig it up anyway. We dig it up, it's a big world. Come on.
Now that is all. You guys just listened to Big World and Gotta Do Something. Now we have come to the end of our show today. I don't know about you guys, but I really enjoyed today. I hope you guys enjoyed my presentation at the start and the songs from Kenny Starr. Now I'll be back again next week, same time, same day. And so please check all my episodes out and tune in for my future episodes. And yes, thank you all for joining, and I hope you guys have a fabulous rest of your week. Have an amazing day and an amazing week. Thank you all. Bye-bye.